It is Ryan Seacrest here. There was a recent social media trend which consisted of flying on a plane with no music, no movies, no entertainment. But a better trend would be going to ChumbaCasino.com. It's like having a mini social casino in your pocket. Chumba Casino has over 100 online casino-style games, all absolutely free. It's the most fun you can have online and on a plane. So grab your free welcome bonus now at ChumbaCasino.com. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
3, 2, 1, and we are live with Lionel, folks. It is September the 11th. Lionel was, like, witnessing what was going on, and I got his newsletter today, and I was really moved by it. And he's talking about his personal experience, but also the official narrative and questions that have been lingering in his mind. So we will be covering this topic. If anyone's got any questions, put them in the chat. If you want to subscribe to Lionel, his links are all in the description box, so please support his important work. Huge thank you for coming on, my friend.
Thank you. I'm glad we're doing this because this was my red pill moment. I hate to use that word excessively, but this is my defloration. I lost my innocence. I really did. I kind of knew that, you know, the world was bad, the world was evil, but I never knew that it wasn't necessarily the bad guys who were bad, but the media and the narrative and how people changed it and how people basically just looked the other way. And we're seeing it now with everything you can imagine. Name the case, and we're doing it right now.
Name the case? Clancy.
Oh, Clancy. You know, Robinson or any of the other cases. Well, you heard the latest with the Clancy, right? The juror is black. What? Did you hear that one?
No.
Oh, this is a great one. One of the jurors was on, I'm changing the subject now, but one of the jurors for Clancy was on Gayle King. This is CBS. This is Oprah's friend, Gayle King, a black woman. And the juror said, well, you know, the holdout was this and that. He goes, yeah. And they said, well, you know, we have people of white, people of color. And he goes, and Gayle King said, people of color? Well, who were they with? Well, they were, one was male. One was male. Is that the holdout? Yeah. And because the black fellow was the holdout, the reaction was, what? And they're going crazy. It's like, well, wait a minute. So these fem libs, I'm using these terrible terms, they're now going crazy that, oh, so you mean the guy who basically thought she killed her kid was a black guy? Because let me tell you something, and I know people don't want to hear this, but in American culture, black folks don't kill their kids. This they don't, you know what I mean? So anyway, so that's where it's phenomenal, this case of it. So that's still, they're still not done with it. But anyway, but today, I want to ask you a very simple question. You've been doing this for a while. Do you believe the official narrative that three steel buildings came down based upon two of them of jet fuel and one based on debris or carpet fire or something? Do you believe that, Sean Atwood? Yes or no?
Put in the chat if you believe that or not. I absolutely do not believe that. I am privy to the options trading that came in prior to this event. And that was one of my wake-up moments as well.
That doesn't prove anything. I'm sorry. That's a very interesting take. That doesn't prove anything.
If you're an options trader and you fully understand the intricacies, it certainly convinces you.
But to be fair, and we always want to be fair, my friend, it could also be that somebody had advanced knowledge of a legitimate terrorist attack that was going on, where Al-Qaeda or ISIS or whoever these people were would have been involved in that. So, I mean, I know that may be far-fetched, but that in and of itself doesn't mean anything. The options...
Well, The trades were placed, majority of them, through Alex Brown, Buzzy Krongard, ex-CIA, all traced to ex-CIA run brokerage.
And if, going crazy now, if they knew that Al-Qaeda, ISIS, was going to do this, and it was a lie hop, let it happen on purpose versus make it happen on purpose. Theoretically, they could have said, put the trades through. I've got some, we've got some terrorist chatter out there that says this is happening. And so, you know, so, I mean, so that could have happened. I'm not saying it did. That's not it. Looking at just the physical evidence alone, irrespective, I asked, not whether ISIS did this or whether it was an inside job or CIA or Mossad. I didn't say that. I said, do you believe the official narrative?
I do not, and I believe that the CIA. I do not believe it, and I believe that the CIA created ISIS.
Well, ISIS, if you remember, this came back, this started a lot of this, the Taliban and others, when we were playing around in Afghanistan, when Zbigniew Brzezinski wanted to radicalize. Remember, he said, I want to make Afghanistan their Vietnam, you know, that sort of thing. So anyway, but irrespective of that, the official narrative, two buildings hit by a plane, each a plane, the internal combustion, the gasoline, which is really kerosene, exploded. And that fire or that mixture or that over raised the temperatures of a steel-structured building to such an extent that it all fell at free fall speed on its own footprint. Free fall. That means that there was no resistance. That means pow, 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 pow. You have to remove the resistance below. That's not possible. That did not happen. And as far as Building 7 at 5:20 p.m., the Solomon Brothers building, remember that great BBC reporter who said, and the Solomon Brothers building, no, it's right, remember the arrows, it's right here. That might have been an error. So my first question was, I don't know who did what, but the narrative makes no sense. And Building 7 is even more ridiculous because that was just hit by, quote, debris. So everybody knows, anybody who is in, just has a couple of neurons, says that the official narrative of jet fuel causing, there's elastic and plastic where it causes the steel structure, think about this, to basically wear out and to fail such that each, if it's 110 floors, if let's say it was at the 80th or the 90th, and you say a second each, that's a minute or whatever. This was like in second. No. So anyway, floor, yes. Stover T said yellow, pull it. Yeah. I understand it. I know that Norman Mineta, that Cheney canceled the stand-down order. I know there was about 40 or so drills, Operation Vigilant Warrior, and all of this stuff. So forget that. Simple. I want to ask your audience, yes or no, do you believe the official narrative that on this day, for the first time in recorded history, three but two really well-constructed, I mean really well-constructed steel structures fell, and you could just on their footprint, at meaning it didn't topple to the side, free fall speeds, not once, not twice, but three times, with the third one not being hit by anything. Just right there. Forget everything else. That's in the trading and the Cheney and just that alone. This is where we start. This is just like, this is Andy Carr telling, I don't believe Bush knew anything. See that look right there? He was reading My Pet Goat. This is called plausible deniability. I don't think he was shocked because I think he knew there's some pretty ruthless people out there. I don't think he knew anything, and they wanted to keep it like that. Same thing goes for Cheney. Nobody knows anything. He might have had suspicions. he might have, whatever, but he, and he was trying to act cool in front of those kids. I remember that day. So let me just start off the right off from the bat. This is just like Tyler Robinson, 30-06, everything else. The bottom line is, Sean, for the love of God, don't fight me on this. Don't fight me on this. That dog don't hunt. I mean, this is as simple as it is. That's the premise. So what they're doing today is they're saying Zoran Mamdani, he's the mayor of New York City. He and those Muslims and those radicals, how dare you? They might have said some terrible things about it. Some people said things like, well, I heard something happen on 9/11. But I'm asking the question, if it was indeed the Muslims or the Arabs or whoever the hell these people were, how the hell they wire the building? These guys are good. How do you do that? Now, that's number one. Remember, there's building North Tower, South Tower, Building 7. That's in the morning. A little bit later on, the Pentagon. Hani Hanjour. Who the hell's that? That's the pilot. How do we know his name? I don't know. He flew 6 feet off the ground, left a, what, a 16-foot hole. Looks just like a cruise missile, whatever to me. Remember that one picture? That's the plane. That's the plane? There was no nothing. Did you see that the rings of the Pentagon? They had this one, the final ring, where it punched through. This plane made of basically aluminum went through 6 rings. Where are the planes? Where's everything? Where's the engine? 6-ton titanium. Where are the people? What? 6 feet off the what? And also remember, Washington is probably the most photographed city in the world. People have cameras left and right. And on the Pentagon, I knew a guy one time who was at the Pentagon and he was lost. All of a sudden, he couldn't find his car. He said, like, Jesus, where the hell am I going? All of a sudden, freeze. This thing, everything is wired. No cameras there. They removed all the cameras from the Citgo station and everything. I mean, it was beautiful. So that's number two. And by the way, Sean, how do you know? How do you know the name of the guy? Hello, yes, this is Hani Hanjour for posterity. Yes, Hani, yes, I'm the pilot. Okay. And how do these people make all of these calls? You ever go on a plane and you're trying to call people? Sometimes they're a little bit better. You can get a message, but they're making all these phone calls. Anyway, that's the Pentagon. But the best is Shanksville, Pennsylvania. There's no plane there. Let me say that again. I don't think you heard me. There's no plane. The debris was found 1.5 to 8 miles away in the place called either New Baltimore or Indian Lake. That's where the debris field was. Sean, as you well know, these planes have 6-ton titanium engines, wheels, wings, beverage carts, people, luggage, winders, rudders, aileron, you name it, wheels. And look at the picture. Go to Flight 93, Shanksville, Pennsylvania, and you see a little fire truck, couple of guys with white suits, maybe some steam. And that's it. So the first time I was on the air, I was on a radio show, I was looking this thing up because I didn't know where the hell these things were. They said Shanksville. I said, where the hell is Shanksville? I don't know. Take the last train to Shanksville. I didn't know where this was. This is in Pennsylvania. So I'm looking for this. So I'm pulling this up, and I keep seeing this picture. I'm saying, where's the plane? Because it's stupid me. I'm looking for a plane like we always see. Do you ever see a plane crash where you say, where's the plane? I mean, if it's not underwater, but no, you always see it. It's fire and smoke. And somebody called me up the night and says, what are you getting at? I said, what am I getting at? So anyway, so people, and what happens, Sean, I'm sure you've seen this before. That's what I say. They're buying turns of this. It's like this brain flatulence that takes over. It's like, and they make things up. They'll say like, well, see, the plane was going so fast, see, straight down, and it just atomized. It just disintegrated. 6-ton titanium. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Or they say, well, you know, Pennsylvania, they do a lot of mining. They have coal mines, and the ground is like powder, see? And the plane just what? Just got sucked up into the what? What? Yeah. That's it. And it just, and then they said, well, what about the engines? Well, you know, there was a breeze that day. A breeze? 5 tons, 6 tons, Titan. What? They just make things up. And I'm saying, why are you so enslaved by the official narrative? What are you? Are you on the payroll? What do you need to know? Why is there? You see, Sean, if that's your real name, it's not the government we're fighting. It's the citizens. It's these self-styled skeptics and these people who don't want to believe in, you know, conspiracy theories. I want to take these people and you know, I don't know what I want to do with them, but I want to say, what in the hell is the matter with you? I don't understand this to this day. But so this is when I realized, oh, my God. Oh, my God. Now, I got to tell you something, though. Was very interesting. When it happened, it was a Tuesday morning. It was as beautiful a blue sky as I've never seen anything like it. Never. And I was on the phone with my father, my late father at the time, and I said, you know, you're not going to believe this. But I said, there's a fire at the World Trade Center. I just happened to have this local station on. And I said, well, you know, I guess that happens. And then I think it was the weather girl says, no, re-rack it. Watch this video. No, I saw a plane. And sure enough, at the bottom right, you see this thing go in there. I said, huh, that's weird. A plane. And then there was a second plane. Now, I don't know about you, but I didn't think, I don't know why. I didn't think terrorism. I wasn't thinking anything. Then they said the Pentagon. I thought, okay, all righty. Now we're on to something. Interesting story. There was a man who was, you know, fooling around on his wife. And he was, you know what I mean? A little bit of that, a little bit of that. And he was at Brighton Beach or someplace. And he was supposedly working. He was originally a security guard or something at the World Trade Center. But anyway, but he was with his gumara, you know, his gal. And his wife, suspecting something, calls him up in the morning and says, how you doing? He says, fine. She says, I got that summer. How's everything down there? Fine. Anything odd going on? No, pretty quiet. Okay. Put on the TV. Huh? Put on the TV. What channel? Any channel. And he realizes as he sees his place. So anyway, that's a sad note. When this happened, New York had an attitude, I've never seen it, polite, no honking, no nothing. Please cross the street. No, take your time. On subways, oh, after you. No, after you. It was wild. There was a fellow in a cab. He had a, you know, a turban, and he went to have like a professionally this sign said, it says, I am Sikh. You know, I said, listen, Pally, if I were you, I'd say, I'm not an Arab, or they don't know what a Sikh is. They have no idea. But everybody was selling everything. America, America, the flags in America, they're all foreign. But everybody was, I mean, it was like you can't believe. We had the big concert at Madison Square Garden. And if you were a fireman, see, I live here. I was in Hell's Kitchen. That's on the west side. And there's famous for great Irish pubs and Irish bars, and everybody went to bar. Everybody, you got your neighborhood joint. This is where you are. Oh, that's Sean. Yeah, well, he drinks at Druids, or you drink. So anyway, so we were there, and all of us met that day. The people from the neighborhood went into the pub. And one woman, she came in, she was downtown. She had the dust on her. She didn't realize it. If anybody walked in, any fireman, there was a guy who worked cranes. If you had a World Trade Center lanyard, you didn't buy a drink. You were a hero. So what happened was the saddest thing. This to me still kills me. Wherever there's a building that's missing, or they're adding something, or they're whatever they're doing, if there's any construction, people put up signs showing pictures of their loved ones at weddings or funerals or parties, birthday parties. And it says, have you seen this person? Have you seen them? Like they're lost. Like they're not going to come home. Like they just need a little nudging. Like, if you've seen this person, it was like, oh my God. Cause you just, okay. Then you had people, and I recall correctly, they were giving out death certificates a little quick. Under American law, if you're dead or if you're missing for like 7 years, you're presumed to be dead. You can probate the will, do all that stuff. They were doing this automatically. So it was believed that some people who were, on the lam or just wanted to just take off, start a new life or cash in a life insurance policy, they just, they took off. It was very interesting, too, because Mayor Giuliani and others were asking that all of this steel, because that's very expensive, very good money, be carted off to this place on Staten Island called Fishkills, I believe. And then they sent them to China. And they were saying at the time, no, we have to go through that. We have to review. There's DNA. And they said, no, get rid of this. They clean that thing up so fast. Later on, I talked to people I know, firemen, a lot of cops. In fact, our neighborhood bar, which is since closed, but it was all FBI, New York City Police, fire, ATF, everybody. They said weeks later, there were fires underneath that were just like, I don't know what, 1,200 degrees. They said, this doesn't make any sense. That was strange. Then I had a friend of mine who's a radiologist, and he said, why would there be thyroid cancer? He says, unless it was something radiological. He says, you don't just get that from asbestos. And there were other theories that said maybe, remember there were some, Judy Wood had her direct energy weapon theory. Richard Gage had his thermite theory. There's different ways. And there was another fellow, a Russian, I recall correctly, who said that he believes there might have been something that was low, some type of low yield, something of a nuclear detonation, because pictures underneath of the ground, it was like polish, like glass. And only high heat can cause that, which might have explained these fires that were going on forever. I mean, we will never know. See, nobody was interested in this. Nobody. There were people who jumped out. It was tragic beyond anything. And there were some people who they just never came home. They didn't announce, they didn't tell their family, by the way, I'm going to the World Trade Center. There was a lot of stuff going on. So it was incredible. Now, downtown, this is downtown Manhattan where this happened. It was a no man's land. The greatest chefs in the world, Michelin strain, the best. They had canteens and soup kitchens and feeding the work. I mean, they had the best food. I mean, this is terrible, but people came out. In this newsletter, by the way, I put out, I hope your folks can follow. Anyway, there's, they had this local, I thought this was so interesting. They had a local newsman. He said, well, the following, what we need is this, batteries for phones. Cause this was in 2000, this was 25 years ago, phone batteries. But also we need, they said, bottled water. And booties, like baby booties for the dogs, for the cadaver dogs and the dogs that go through because of the shards. I never thought about this. So later on, I said to myself, did I hear that? Did I? And somebody said, yeah, I heard the same thing too. It was the strangest. People just said, what can we do? I want you to imagine Manhattan. It's like, I don't know, a mile or so across. It's very small, but it's dense. From the Hudson River on the west to the East River on the east, this long 57th Street is just straight across. I walked out I remember that night looking, and everybody stood in doorways with a candle. They had the paper plate with a candle, as far as the eye could see, it and nobody said anything. They were just handing up. People were just, I swore I'm not going to use a word surreal, but it was surreal. And Sean, the smell. Do you ever have an electric motor, like a vacuum cleaner or something that it does that ring and like he smells it, metallic burning? That's what everything smelled like. That's what it smelled like. The stories are, oh, listen to this. Everybody's got, the stories are unbelievable. This is one. This is a, I know this from a friend of a friend, and I talked to him, and it was his daughter. She was going to a school downtown, and she said she thought the world was coming to an end. She didn't, and she said, no, it sounds crazy now. She just saw explosion, fire. Imagine every siren of every car, of every fire truck, police, every siren going on. It's wild. So she was leaving and heading uptown towards, you know, Harlem, up, you know. People who owned bodegas and little stores would take out their change for it. Because remember, there was no cellular service was down. They said, here, take the coins of quarters. There's a payphone here, a payphone there. People were trying to reach anybody to say, I'm okay. She was walking, and a man came up behind her and said, come on, you're not moving fast enough. Let's go. Because they don't know if they're going to, because if when you've got a building that high and it falls, you don't know, you don't do the math. You don't say, well, that seems to be, no, that, you just run. Your head is spinning and people are screaming and there's sirens. As he's pulling her, and she eventually got in front of him because she's a little bit younger, she's pulling him. She says, what's going on? And she looks, and I'm trying to clean this up. Something fell. Something came off. Glass, I don't know what. And she's had to take his hand and pull it off him and run. Now this, she's just, what? I mean, it's just, when they stopped running, it was like, if I told you, I don't know if it means anything to you, they're like in Harlem, they're like almost in the Bronx. I mean, they just ran and ran. My God. It was like something that, it was, no, nobody's ever seen this before. It was war. We were at war. And the firemen, there's a fire station not too far from where David Letterman's, you know where Colbert is, the Ed Sullivan Theater on 53rd or whatever in Broadway right there. Anyway, there was a firehouse. And they never came back. The entire house, gone. Just, they never came back. And the altruism. I don't want to mention some of the, there were some famous stars who bought fire trucks for people. I mean, I'm not going to mention their names, but I don't, because they were very, nobody, I almost tear up. Nobody was acting like a big shot. They said, no, just, I mean, it was something. And the solidarity, it was like nothing you've ever seen. Remember the time in Tehran, they had a candlelight vigil for us. Putin bent over backwards and said, listen, I know where these bastards are. They're in the Caucasus. I know. He also tried to help us when we had the Boston Marathon bombers. The flying Tsarnaev brothers, speed bump and flashbang, as Howie Carr calls them. Anyway, but people just loved us. Reminds me, I don't want to bring this into it, but it reminds me of Israel after October the 7th. The whole world said, we're with you. Those, you know, say, whoa. People have this sense of, oh, no, you don't do that. And then later on, we find out, well, and our reaction. So what did we do right away? We went straight to, you know, Iraq. And I don't want to politicize it, but it seems like, all right. So the quote conspiracies didn't come in. By the way, there's some funny thing. I shouldn't say this. Did you have this? Did you have the color coded, the color systems? Today is color coded red. What's that?
Oh, yeah.
That's bad. What are we now? Chartreuse. What the hell was that? Green? Give me green. Green is green. Green's good, right? Okay, green. Yellow. No, not good. Ooh, orange. Oh, God. Red. Ugh. So they were, this one poor guy in Connecticut wrapped his house in like cellophane. His house. And they said, you're going to die. You know. Anyway, I mean, people didn't know what the hell to do. They didn't know what to do. Nobody knew what. People were, this is the greatest part. Pilgrimages, huge swaths of people going over the Brooklyn Bridge and just walking. And this is the weirdest thing. People that would not normally be speaking to each other.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNC 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Black kids and, you know, hard hats and construction workers. Everybody looked at each other. And I swear to God, it was, what the? Everybody just looked at each other. That was it. Everybody. People talked to each other. And then it was like, did you lose anybody? Did you lose anybody? It was unbelievable. And the greatest performance of anyone was Rudolph Giuliani. They hated this guy on September the 10th like you can't believe. The cops hated him. The teachers hated him. And when people didn't like him, the gay people liked him. He had left his wife. They go, you left your wife, you. And he was bunking and it was like sharing a couch with a gay couple. I mean, it was like, I don't know. They said, what are you doing? They couldn't stand this guy. Dun, da, da, Rudy. And he said, come on, let's go. And he says, he was phenomenal. There was a story. There was a woman that he promised. He said, I will walk you down the aisle. And she said to him, look, I know you probably can't do this now. He says, nonsense. A promise is a promise. Let's go. So he has his control, his command car. He gets into his tuxedo. He walks her down. Thank you, kiss. Back into the guy never slept. He was unreal. He was, everybody loved this guy. I mean, I've never seen leadership like this before. Come on, we can do it, New York. Come on, we can do it. You know, it was, and I mean to tell you, it was, I don't know what, there was no crime. There was no nothing. You break into somebody's house now? Oh, they'll have summary, you know, justice on the corner. It was, I hate to say this, Sean. I'm glad I was here. I'm glad it was terrible that it happened. But I have never seen anything like that. And then we started to look around. And like I told you, that was my red pill day. I was a babe in the woods. And I said, you know, I'm here and I'm not seeing this. What do you mean? What's the matter with you? You're crazy. It was like they had the notion of an evil that if you were to say, well, I don't know if that happened that way. I'm telling people, I never said it was our government. I never said it was an inside job. I never said Bush did it. I never said any of that. I'm saying your narrative, this jet fuel stuff is ridiculous. It's not true. It cannot happen. It just doesn't do that. They've had buildings that burn for days. Interestingly enough, the Empire State Building was hit by a B-19, whatever it was, hit by a bomber. Thing stood up. It was like, nothing. Burned and no, nothing happened. What happened was they said, yes, but these buildings were also designed to withstand, because it's in the traffic. You know, we have three airports. We have Newark Airport, LaGuardia, and Kennedy. Those are the big airports. So it's kind of at the base of Manhattan. So there, you don't get near this thing anyway. But they said, but it was designed to withstand that. The structure of this thing was, I mean, you can't believe it. If you ever looked at the core, there's a base and there's all this. I went to Cooper Union. This is a famous institution here in New York. It's where Abraham Lincoln spoke. And there was a guy there from University, check him out, University of Alaska. He did a computer study of Building 7. And he said, no way. No way. It's just, no, this is, now everybody knows this. Sean, there are things you know. You've seen it a million times. You've seen, I don't know, like in Las Vegas when they have a new casino, they always, you've seen this before. You've seen splat, 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 squibs. I don't know. Why am I not supposed to say, wait a minute, that's what happened? And for all we know, maybe it was an inside job. Maybe inside job from the terrorist point of view. Maybe they did it this way. I don't know who did it. That has something to do with this. Just like if I say to you, I don't believe the story about Lee Harvey Oswald, I can't tell you who did it, but I can tell you that the official narrative doesn't make any sense. You see what I'm saying? It's completely different. All of this stuff, they really came out hardcore against anybody who dared to even question the narrative. And I just doubled down. I doubled down like you can't believe, because I still could not believe that there were people who were actually, seriously, theoretically, not even questioning this. Not even, I still can't believe it. I still can't believe it. Not even thinking for a moment that this made no sense whatsoever. I don't know if I can make this any clearer, but it just blows my mind. Absolutely, positively.
So you've had several questions come in.
I hope so.
And one of them is, if Mohammed Atta was on a suspicious people list, how did he get on the plane? That's from Miami Murray.
Not only that, I don't know whether it was Atta's passport. How did these things survive a fire? How did they survive being on the ground? You've got a passport, all right? Put it in my pocket. I've got everybody. I'm in the plane. It's all me. The plane goes into the building. Boom. And I'm going to, what, throw this out the window? I don't know how anybody would find it. There was a better one that was even more ridiculous. Years later, there was a, I don't remember where it was. There was a controversy regarding an Islamic center downtown Manhattan. There was a big controversy because it was near Ground Zero. And they were going crazy about it. It was in, it was called Park 51. Yeah, Park 51. And it was, what year was this? I forget. I'm looking right now. In any event, they went berserk. They said, you cannot. Okay, this was in 2010. So listen to this. So imagine they have buildings that are kind of near each other. Sometimes there's a little bit of a space or there's, they found in 2010, the gear housing or the landing gear of a jet that had they missed, and it was between, and if I stood over this and I said, how do I drop, let's say it fell from the, how do I even get it? And I thought, you have got to be, and people, they don't ask any questions. That's my problem. How do they suspend common sense reality? How, I mean, it's, you don't have to be a pilot to know this. 9 years, people walk by this every day and say, what is that? Nothing. Okay. You know, it looks like a plate, like a landing gear. Now I'll just keep going. Okay. You sure? It's almost embarrassing. It's like, you're pulling this on me. You're pulling this on me. Now, remember, where are we today? It's a wonderful resurgence of this anti-Muslim, anti-Islam, Islamo-fascist, by the way, an oxymoron, this screaming and the people and they, you know, interesting that that's the perfect narrative that we're hearing regarding the Middle East. We must continue on our program in the Middle East because these people, and don't forget 9/11. You see how it's all, and I'm thinking, oh, wait a minute. Now, hold on a second. Sometimes it's true. Sometimes we have our mayor, Zoran Mamdani, whose name nobody can pronounce. He might hire the wrong people. He had some cleric who was involved. He had somebody who was some lawyer. He may not be the most brokenhearted over 9/11. I'll give you that. But that doesn't mean anything. This was 25 years ago. I don't know how old he was then, but might have been 8 years old for all I know. But you see where the meme is. You see this guy Rob Schneider. You know, he's his comedian. You know, I'm a conservative, and for years I wasn't allowed. He was on SNL, and Rob Schneider, and of course there was a picture of this poor man jumping out of the building, and he said, the Arabs and the Muslims and the Islamic. And I said, how do you know this? How do you know this? Let's go back. Do you remember initially when bin Laden said, I have nothing to do with this? Remember this? And then later on, he changed his mind. It was like two or three times he said, did you ever think? He said, I don't know anything about this. Remember the picture when they had that picture, when they showed, remember the dark bin Laden, the light bin Laden? They had him one time, this one picture where he's like, he looks almost black. He looks black or Punjabi, and they gave him a rifle, and he's right-handed. He's normally left-handed. And there's all this stuff. George Bush was meeting with one of the bin Laden family. I mean, there's all of this internecine stuff that's going on. And the bottom line is simply this. And the question everybody has to ask is, start off with the question I gave you. Do you believe the official narrative as far as jet fuel? Because even then, people would say, you know, if the story were true that they took these planes, flew in, and they couldn't have believed that they would have brought the buildings down. Remember, in 93 or whatever it was, when they had the explosion underneath, they had the first World Trade Center, the blind shake, and was it Ramzi Youssef? I forget his name. But they said when they were flying him back or something, when he was in a helicopter, he looked out supposedly and said, we didn't get it this time. Now, whether he said this or not, I don't know. But they said from an engineering point of view, and a lot of these people like Richard Gage, with Architects and Engineers from 9/11 Truth, and a variety of other people, they said, if that's really what you want to do, if you want to bring this down, this plane isn't going to do it. You're going to have to hit the basic supports, and to have it fall. Sean, I don't know. That means there's zero resistance. That means there's nothing. The 92nd floor, the 91st floor, the 90th, 89th, they're all gone. So that there's nothing that stops the buildings where they sit, and they stop. Because the building is still there. It has to be, and it's not a matter of picking up acceleration or, I don't want to go into that. Listen, we're we have rudimentary understandings about physics and architecture, but the story is even more far-fetched now. Not only that, the Pentagon, you've got to see, you've got to drive, you can drive around and just look and see the Pentagon, this highway that's right there. I've seen it a million times, and I'm thinking, how did they do this? A plane flying and this guy, one wrong move and he hits the ground and it bounces. I mean, you know, wheels up and you're like this, 6 feet, and it'll leave a small hole like that. And to go through, even the story. Now, remember, let me just remind you something. Do you remember Operation Northwoods?
Yeah.
Remember that one?
Yeah.
This is the one that people told me. Now, what is that about? During the Kennedy administration, this was not approved, but they wanted to do this. And you can see the official declassified plan. Hitting that sauce early, are we? Anyway, so they were going to, this was not carried through, but the theory behind it was that they, this was, of course, we wanted to engage Castro and do a false flag, you know, with Castro. Anyway. So they would take a plane and they would have a, university students, a volleyball team or something, get on it. These are all CIA family members, spooks, whatever it was. They say goodbye, and they take off, let's say, from Miami. And they take off, and they go to Eglin Air Force Base, and they land. As far as you know, they're on their way to Puerto Rico, wherever the hell they are. Now, the plan was they would have a drone that had all of a drone, meaning an empty, kind of an unmanned plane that had some decals and signature, that, and they would detonate it. And they would blame Castro for this. They would say, you did this. You blew up this plane. And that would be our entree into going to war with Cuba. Does that sound familiar? Take a yes. plane, have people on it, having them. Now, where these people are, I have no idea. But this was a mentality of us then. Now, those people are still there. Not the same people, but the same mentality, the same way of thinking. Now, remember one thing. I want you to understand this. I like when somebody says, we need more likes. Thank you there, Taza Bear. Makes you feel pathetic, doesn't it? God damn it, he's doing the best he can. Come on. Sure, it's not the greatest show, but what are you going to do? Anyway, but whenever somebody asks, have you heard these questions? Well, where are the people? Well, what happened? It's like, look, it's not my story. It's your story. I don't know where it is. I mean, they. It's not a straw man, but I'm supposed to tell you where everybody is. I said, I don't know about everybody. I know that the jet fuel story I'm not buying. The rest of it, I have no idea. I'm not here to debunk everything. I just have a question, but they'll never answer that question. They'll say, okay, so what's your problem? Well, where are
they? What about this question, Lionel, from Sarah? Larry Silverstein bought the towers, got insured, double insurance, etc.
Double insurance, because they said at first this was a dog because of the asbestos, and it was a dog. And they said the insurance company was going to say it was, thank you, Natalie, it was one. They said it was one event. And he said, oh, no, 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 no. Oh, no, 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 no. That's not what happened. It's two. So he got the double insurance. There was also something worth silver. And by the way, there's no, I have absolutely no, but his name is Silverstein or Silverstein. And they said, aha, he's Jewish. And of course, there's that connection, which again, you're on your own with that one. But he supposedly said, and you can hear him, as far as Building 7, he says, well, there was so much loss, we decided to pull it. Or something to that effect. And that has, as George Bush would say, that resonated with people forever. Pull it? What do you mean, pull it? What does that mean? Pull it? Pull what? What are you talking about? So it was very, very interesting. But there was also the case of,
he supposed to be in the towers as well on that day?
Well, he was supposedly, he's there normally every day, but something happened. There was a lot of people who, you know, one day they had to go to a doctor's office, something, they just weren't there. So I don't know. But they've always pointed to him. But I'm saying, that's great. Come up with something. Don't just point to the fact that he's there. There were also these people called the Dancing Israelis. There was apparently these people who were celebrating. Well, okay, and they were from Israel. And they seemed to be at a place across, either in Liberty Park, across in like Jersey City, across the Hudson, where you could see directly. It was almost like they were waiting for it to happen. So they say. And then they were pulled over, they were deported, and then they went back. So I don't know. It looks fishy as hell. Why are people dancing or looking excited? There's a lot of people who were. There was a lot of people who were. And a lot of people who weren't. So that was one of those things people were just looking at. The majority of the people, though, were absolutely heartbroken. Oh, you also hear these stories. I can't tell you. You know, every day I'd go there with my, get my bagel and coffee, this little food store, right? Little food cart. There he is. The five.
There's the dancing Israelis.
The dancing Israelis. I've got their latest album. It's like, anyway, so they have the story about how every day I would go and I would get my coffee and bagel. And one, for one reason or another, he's not there that day. And then we hear these stories about people, families who all of a sudden just got up and left in the middle of the night. I don't know how true these are, but I've heard a bunch of stories like that. Again, I don't know. See, I don't run with some. I don't put a therefore. I don't know what that means. It's like, well, that's interesting. Let's pursue it. That's maybe probable cause. That's not reasonable doubt. Let's just go. Let's look at this. Let's figure out more about it. It's not what. I'm not telling you what this means. I don't know what it means. People always swore to it was Bush. He knew it. How did he know it? I don't do that. He could. It might be. I don't know, though. I don't know. When you have, here, another thing too is, do you know how many, this is the best part. Do you know how many drills there were? Say what you want about these Arab terrorists. Boy, they picked a great day. Do you know how many drills were going on? Operation Vigilant Warrior, Operation, what the hell are you talking about? Of all the days to have this, to have a drill for hijacking? When all of the jets are out, one's in Alaska, one's here, and say, hey, we need you. There's a hijacking. Wait a minute. Is this a hijacking or is this the drill? It's real. Wait a minute. Isn't that what you're supposed to say? So they, as you know, whenever there are drills, they go hot, sometimes in war. You bring them up to the border and then they say, now we're here. We're not threatening you. We're just having a drill. So that was always something which nobody talked about. There was the case of, I mean, so much. The 9/11 Commission was a joke. Remember Norman Mineta who testified, he said, I said, Mr. Vice President, they're coming in. You've issued a stand down order. We can take this plane out. And he said, no. And you can see it. You know, you can. And then later on, of course, there's a, how about the fact that that President Bush at the time, he would testify, but not alone and not under oath. And he had to have Dick Cheney there. And come on. They asked Condoleezza Rice, did you have any reason to suspect maybe this might be their modality? And she says, well, we did have a PDB, Presidential Daily Briefing, one time entitled Terrorists Planning to Attack a Building. I mean, she basically spelled it out. And how about Alex Jones? He called it, it's eerie. It's eerie. How did people know bin Laden? How do people know that name? How? And he said, this is what they're going to do. They're going to blame this. I got to tell you something. When you go back and watch it, and you listen to what those cops said, like, for example, why would they say Building 7 is going to fall? Why? Wasn't hit by anything. These buildings are structured to withstand earthquakes and everything. Was it hit
by
anything?
You've got a common sense question from Brian on that very subject. Mm-hmm. Would the buildings have fallen if they were hit at the base instead of the top?
You're asking somebody who is not an engineer, but I will tell you, I know a little bit about common sense. And it would seem to me that if you get something at the base, if you've ever taken blocks, you know, this versus this. I mean, I don't know. That's why it was suggested that.
Even Ziggy could figure that one out.
Yes. And there was this one Russian fellow who said that there was something might have been, as they say, nuclear, that might have been at the bottom, which caused basically the buildings just to just fall, that it was underneath. That's real easy to do versus, you know, these squibs and you got to, was it Marvin Boone? One of the Bush brothers owned the security company. Was it Marvin? Or one of them. And there was one weekend where they were closed, where they had to do maintenance work. And, I don't know. This is tough. You've got to wire this stuff. This is very, very serious. So that could very well be. But the problem is that you and I can talk about this all day long. Now, remember, people like Richard Gage and others who looked at this thermite, they looked at the actual, this oxidized steel and iron and all of this. They have reasons for it. They said, this looks like something that was done industrially. Now, there's another one too, is here's something interesting. I don't know if I told you this. I've talked about this. If this is a column, if I have a shape charge like a thermite, and it goes straight across here, that's not good because the top just stays there. It's cut, but the weight, it doesn't move. But if I cut it this way on the side, this top will slide off. And that's what you want. You want that cut at the angle. So I remember when they were doling out pieces of steel to libraries, and sometimes people would say, can we have some twisted metal for our, yeah. And somebody one time, I don't know if they still had it there, but the piece of metal that they had showed that kind of a, and that's why you need to evaluate and analyze. That's why they needed the steel. Can we see the steel? Can we look at it? Can we see if there's any signs of oxidation? Can we see? And they said, it's gone. We got to get rid of it. Got to clean this up. Why do you want to clean this up? And again, I go back to the idea. There are people now suffering from cancer, all kinds of respiration problems. I mean, and they radiologic thyroid cancer, other things too. That's not the stuff you get when it's just asbestos or there's something radiologic there, gamma rays, something. Don't hold me to this, but I know a friend of mine who was a radiologist says, there's something going on there. This is not the usual. And we'll never know because nobody's in
Bush. Bush told him the air was safe. Get back to work.
Christy Todd Whitman from EPA. She was a governor of New Jersey. And she said, it's all safe down there. They did it. And the people who, by the way, they still have ads running on local TV. Were you downtown 25 years ago? They're doing settlements. They're doing lawsuits still 25 years later. Do you know how many people were there? Thousands and what do you mean there? It's a very tiny area. It's not.
Let me get your thoughts on the official version of the surviving passports. So four passports belonging to the hijackers survived in whole or in part because the initial explosions blew lightweight items clear of the main destruction zones, or because the documents were inside luggage that missed the flights. So what do you think about that statement?
Good. Nice try. I mean, that's there. Why would they have their passport in the luggage? You have it with you. You always want to have it with you. You don't have to have anything. You don't want to put it in a bag that may have been lost. And so remember, inside here's my thing. Let's assume this is my passport, and I'm going to put it in my pocket. Versus, I'm going to take it, and as the plane flies into the building, I'm going to throw it. There's a hole there. And it's got to go out of the plane, out of the building, outside, land, and not a mile away from the wind, but intact. Did they do this just with us? I mean, I don't know this. You've got to be kidding me. I mean, seriously. How about the people who were the fellow, I think it was Hani Hanjour. He wanted to rent a plane. They said, we're not going to rent a plane. You can't fly. I mean, this guy was Minnesota. There was a Colleen, was it Rowley or something? She was the FBI agent. And she said, these guys, why do these people, they don't want to learn how to land. It's like the old kamikaze joke. It's easy to teach kamikazes. Why? Because you don't have to teach them how to land. Well, it's kind of like that. There were all these signs, you know, that they were in Orlando or whatever. They were in the strip clubs and they were supposedly devout. And there's all this, I don't know if that's even relevant, because I think sometimes they throw out a lot of additional information just to confuse it. I go back to the original critical thinking question number one. Do you believe the story about jet fuel, kerosene, either because of the combustion or because it's loose and it's like fire? It's like lava, Sean. It just seeps down through the crevices and goes to the main. Have you ever seen the main support? Look at these main support. And it on fire, it also took out all of the supports 30, 40, 50 floors below. Because in order for you to have free fall, there's got to be no resistance. How do I get rid of the resistance? Have you ever played what's that, Jenga or whatever it is, play it with Ziggy. If all of a sudden you pull this thing out, it falls. But if you pull one out and it falls, provided it's done right, it just stops. You got to pull. So if you want it to fall, you've got to make sure you pull all of those little those floors out as it falls. This isn't even, this is just common sense. This is not even, you know. Not only that, the dust themselves, it was called pyroclastic. Normally, if I take a cinder block and I drop it, when it hits the ground, it turns into powder. It doesn't turn into powder when I drop it. It's like this thing was almost, why were beams shot out 200-300 feet? Like, pow, pow. I was like, what is this about? Now, again, I don't have to be an expert to this. It's like people who say, do you know about geoengineering? They're spraying something. I know. This isn't water. I don't have to go to school to learn this is not water. This is not water vapor. Come on. I'm not saying I'm an expert. Just prove me wrong. Answer my question. They won't do it. Because you, Sean Atwood, you're a conspiracy theorist. You're an anti-Semite. You're a racist. You're a homophobe. You're a transphobe. They always tell you what you are. They never answer the question. You know, if you go to your doctor and he asks you for the bill, say, how dare you? You're nothing but a grub. Pay me. Oh, how dare. It doesn't work in any other walk of life. When you walk away from responsibility by calling the guy a bad name, is that you're an idiot? Maybe. Now pay me. Answer my question. It's the weirdest thing. And we do it with health emergencies. We do it with wars. We never learn. That laid the groundwork. That was a beta test. How gullible are these people? But the bigger the tragedy, the more they'll believe.
So please subscribe to Lionel on his YouTube channel and his X. And if you want to get Lionel's newsletter, how did I get your newsletter, my friend?
You know, that's a good question. I'm going to give you
a new link.
I'll give you this one here. I'm going to put this in here. This sounds crazy. This is, that's the link, and you can do whatever you want. That's the one that went out today. I'll let you know. You know what I'll do is I'll follow up with a bit.ly or something that's a little bit more easy to do. I thank you, my friend, per usual. Always a pleasure, Mr. Atwood. Always a pleasure.
Enjoy your evening and your where you're going, and hope to speak soon. Thank you, my friend. Cheers.
Indeed, sir. All the best.
Cheers. All right, folks, I'm going to put Lionel's link in the live chat right now. So if you want to subscribe to his MailChimp, Lionel on Chimp. And I will also add this to the description box. This has got the 9/11 one that I read today on it. And I'll put it in the description box as well in case you're watching on replay. So we've got Gloria Masters is coming on with Guy Anderson early next week. And I think this show is going to take you over to that one if you want to send your notifications. And then Shane, the guest booker, said he's getting me a good guest for tomorrow evening. Let me just see if he's WhatsApped me any messages so I can let you know. Let's see. No, we've not got a confirm. Oh, I've got a big one on the Mormon subject. Ooh, maybe it's this one tomorrow because Chad was phenomenal last week. Yeah, I've reached out to Steeples. Steeples' Wi-Fi has been dodgy for about a week. He's been moving around locations because there was Prince Andrew news today, ex-Prince Andrew. So as soon as he's up and running properly, we will get Steeples back on. Yeah. And, so Shane's got me a good guest for tomorrow night. I'm not sure who it is yet. Guy Anderson. Gloria Masters, beginning of the week. Ron is at the Galactic Conference. Guy Anderson's at the Galactic Conference. Danny Henderson, David Icke, they're all down there. I think it's in Bournemouth. And I'm sure they're having a good old time. And yeah, so that's where we are at. Hope to see some of you in tomorrow's stream. Hope you're having a great weekend.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21+. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.